morning. My name is Marilyn Aquilino. My husband, Mickey, and I have two daughters. They're both married to pastors. And we have seven grandchildren, ranging in age from 5 to almost 15. And I was thinking the other day, when I first started teaching, I didn't have any grandchildren. So I've been doing this for a while now, and it is such a privilege to be able to serve the Lord this way. So I want to thank you for coming this morning. As you know, we're in Romans 6, verses 15 through 23. Before we get into the lesson, I want to ask you a question. How many of you have an older sister? Oh, a lot of us, huh? Well, when I was growing up, my older sister would often boss me around. She was really mean to me sometimes. Now, I can tell you this because when we got older, she admitted that she probably wasn't very nice to me when we were growing up. And I said, no, you really weren't. You know, I didn't let her get off the hook because I think, you know, that she has scarred me for life with some of the stuff that she's done. She would often tell me what to do, how to do it, and order me around. One day, when she was especially bossy, I said to her, I am not your slave. Then I stomped off to my room and slammed the door. I had anger issues at one time because my bedroom door would often slam. You know, one time I slammed it so hard that I broke the lock, and my dad, who could fix everything, didn't fix my door. He said, you broke it, that's the way it's going to stay. Well, can you imagine as a teenager not being able to lock your door? That was kind of hard to live with. But I told my sister that I wasn't a slave, but in actuality, everyone is a slave to something. In chapter 5 of Romans, Paul told us that every human being is either in Adam or in Christ. And in these verses today, he defines these two positions using the concept of slavery. So if you look at your outline, we'll be answering the question, who is your master? First, we'll look at the context. Then the choice, the change, the contrast, and then the conclusion. So let's read these verses together. Romans 6, verses 15 through 23. I'm going to start at verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourself to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We just ask, Father, that you will open up our hearts and our minds to what it is that you would have us learn today. Please make this teaching clear, Father. I pray that it will cause no confusion in the minds and in the hearts of these ladies. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. First, we'll look at the context. So far in our study of Romans, Paul has told his readers that believers in Christ have been justified by faith and therefore have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen that in Romans 5:1. They have been united to Christ in his death and resurrection. They now live a new life, no longer under sin's penalty or power, and no longer under the law, but under grace. Which brings us to the question posed in verse 15. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? The question is similar to the question in verse 1. Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? In both instances, Paul's answer is emphatically by no means. The matter of grace is not given to the believer so he can continue in sin. And to illustrate his point, Paul uses the analogy of slavery. So let's look at the choice in verses 15 and 16. In first century Rome, the population was about 30 to 40% slaves. Also, many free men had once been slaves. So the members of the Roman church knew what Paul was talking about when he was speaking of slavery. Slavery in ancient Rome was not based on race. Slaves in Rome were recruited from all regions and were used for domestic help, manual labor, and gladiator fighting. The enslaved people with talents, skill, or beauty served as singers, scribes, jewelers, physicians, teachers, and poets. One slave trained in medicine was worth about the price of 50 agricultural slaves. Roman slaves could hold property, which despite the fact it belonged to their masters, they were allowed to use it as if it was their own. Skilled or educated slaves were allowed to earn their own money, and many might hope to save enough to buy freedom. Slaves were often freed by terms of their master's will or for services rendered. All this said, it was still an abusive and degrading institution, more so in the earlier than later period in Rome. Using this concept of slavery, Paul demonstrates that we have one of two choices regarding who we serve, and that we serve under one of these two masters. In life, we are faced with many choices. We stand in the grocery store aisle and 10 different detergents are staring us in the face. Which one are we to choose? We decide it's time to buy a car. So many choices, the make, the color, the size, and all the options that it offers. Our child is to start college soon. All the schools to look at. And those are just a few of the many choices we have to make. In verse 16, Paul gives us only two choices, but we must choose one. We can either be a slave to sin or a slave to obedience. We cannot be a slave to neither one or to both. In Matthew 6:24, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." Regarding sin, sin has the ability to enslave a person. The first time a person lies or cheats, he may feel uneasy. The second time, only a little bit shaken. The third time, it becomes easier. And then it's no big deal. It becomes natural. When continued to the end, the result is death. Obedience to sin leads to death. Death is mentioned in verses 16, 21, and 23 as the outcome of being under sin as our master. And I noticed that in the first part of chapter 6, 15 times death was mentioned. Sin enslaves, and sin leads to death. But remember that Christians have been delivered by Jesus from the slavery of sin. He has paid the price for our sins on the cross. He purchased us with his blood. In chapter 6 of Romans, we are told of what has happened to us as Christians. We died to sin. We were baptized into Christ Jesus, into his death. We were buried with him. We have been united with him. Our old self was crucified with him. We died with Christ. We have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness, and have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. Remember, as Christians, that we are not sinless, but we will sin less. Yes, we have died to sin, but that doesn't mean that we are sinless. But hopefully we will sin less as Christians. So Christians are not to continue in sin, even though they are not under the law, but grace. And just because we are freed from the law, we are not free to live as we please. We obey the law not as a means of salvation, but because we are saved and desire to live the way God has directed us to live. We obey out of love for him. In John 14:15, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." The first slavery is to sin. The second slavery is to obedience. You might think that Paul would say, slaves to sin and slaves to Christ. I don't know if any of you thought of that when you were reading this. But he says, slaves to obedience, which leads to righteousness, which actually is the definition of God himself. Now, regarding obedience, the same act that has delivered Christians from the slavery of sin has also made them slaves of God. It is the act of redemption. It is the same act that has delivered a Christian from the slavery of sin and also made them slaves of God. Verse 18 speaks of this. Instead of bondage, which sin brings, slavery to God brings freedom, the only true freedom which comes through knowing the gospel and following Jesus Christ. John 8:31 through 32 says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" My ESV Bible note says, regarding set you free, it says, "from the guilt and enslaving power of sinful patterns of conduct." Like slavery to sin leads to death, the slavery to obedience also leads to something. It leads to righteousness. Two choices. To which one have you presented yourself? To which one are you enslaved? The sin which results in bondage and death, or to obedience to Christ, which results in righteousness and eternal life? Let me read Romans 12:1 through 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now in verses 17 through 19, we'll notice Paul speaking of the change. Notice that Paul says, thanks be to God. He gives God the credit for the transformation that has taken place in the lives of the Roman believers. Their turning to God was the work of God and not their own. He called, they responded, but he is the one that gave them the ability to respond. And Paul is thankful that they are no longer slaves of sin, but are now obedient to Christ. How many of you watch HGTV? I think a lot of us do. One of my favorite shows is Fixer Upper. Have you ever seen that? It's a show with Chip and Joanna Gaines. What they do is they pick out three houses for a client, and the client is usually a couple, a married couple. They pick out these three houses, and then the couple chooses which one that they want the Gaineses to remodel based on their budget. Chip does the construction work, and his wife Joanna designs and decorates, and boy, can she design and decorate. She does beautiful work. They take old, outdated, dilapidated houses and transform them into something new, clean, and beautiful. I love before and afters. And I love makeovers. When they do these makeovers with people, I just like to see the before and the afters. Paul describes what has come to be the before and the after of these Romans in these few verses. He says, their old life, the before Christ, BC, was characterized by impurity and lawlessness. Impurity refers to immorality and viciousness. Ephesians 4:19 says, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Lawlessness is how the Apostle John describes all sin in its intrinsic character. He says in 1 John 3:4, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. And like Paul states, lawlessness leads to more lawlessness. It is never satisfied. It always seeks to go further into more and even greater acts of lawlessness. In their old life, they were slaves to sin. This slavery to sin begins at birth. Remember Pam's teaching on the federal headship? Adam's sin was representative of all man. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Before being in Christ, they were in Adam and presented or yielded their members or the parts of their body to sin. They sinned with moral abandon. The fervor they once had for sin they should now have for righteousness, which leads to sanctification, which is holiness. Now their new life should be characterized by holiness. God calls the Christian to live a holy life. 1 Peter 1:15 through 16 says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Their new life is now in Christ. Slavery to sin, like was mentioned, begins at birth. Slavery to God begins at new birth. As Christians, they were wholeheartedly, meaning from the heart, not merely a formality, but with zeal, have been obedient to the standard of teaching. They were wholeheartedly obedient to the standard of teaching. This teaching consists of the truth of the gospel and God's word contained in the scriptures. Titus 1:9 says, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also rebuke those who contradict it. It is the gospel that sets sinners free and to which they are to be committed. The true gospel, the only gospel, which is by grace through faith in Christ plus nothing. Anything other than this is not the gospel. The true gospel is by grace through faith in Christ alone. Paul was thankful to God that these Roman believers had been changed from being a slave to sin to being a slave to righteousness. Is there a before and after in your life? Can you say, once I was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see? If so, do you have the same thankfulness to God for what he has done for you and for what he has done for your loved ones who have been changed? Ephesians 2:3-5 says, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In these next verses, we'll look at the contrast, verses 20 through 23. Just as in the previous verses, Paul again contrasts the Christian's pre-converted past with the now of the Christian's present. Before we were Christians, like we've said, we were slaves of sin, free from righteousness, which resulted in fruit, bringing shame and death. Now that we are Christians, we are free from sin. We are free from its penalty and its power, and slaves of God, which results in fruit, bringing sanctification and life. According to Keller, when someone says they are rejecting Christianity because they want to be free, they are right only in the narrow sense that they're free from living in the way that will most satisfy and fulfill them. In every other way, they are slaves. Sin never satisfies. It is a constant treadmill of trying to grasp or keep hold of something which can never really deliver. All it brings is shame and death. Think about Adam and Eve. They sinned and were ashamed of what they had done, and they tried to hide from God. They tried to cover up their sin. Their sin brought shame and death, not only to themselves, but to the entire human race. So what are sin's benefits? Nothing good, only shame and death. In contrast, when one is a slave of God, the benefit is sanctification and eternal life. Paul speaks of the fruit that one reaps when slaves of sin, in contrast to slaves of God. Galatians 5:19-24 tells us, now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Paul ends this chapter with another contrast in verse 23, a most profound contrast. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Spurgeon called Romans 6:23 a Christian proverb, a golden sentence, a divine statement of truth, worthy to be written across the sky. Here you have both the essence of the gospel, he says, and a statement of the misery from which the gospel delivers all who believe. Wages is the payment received for a person's work, what is earned. The wages sin pays is death. Sin pays out what we deserve. On the other hand, eternal life is not earned, but comes as a free gift of God. Oh, wait, it is earned. Not by the sinner, but by Jesus for the sinner. The sinner who has run to God in Christ for rescue receives the most for the least, life everlasting for nothing. Jesus says this regarding eternal life in John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life has to do with knowing God now and fully when we are with him forever. I'd like you to take your outline and turn it over. What I have given you here is one verse evangelism. It is one verse where you can share the gospel with someone, and it's really an easy thing to do here. What you would do is you take a sheet of paper, or say that you're out to lunch with one of your friends and you start the conversation about Christianity, and you're thinking, oh, this person is ready to learn more about Christianity. So you can take a napkin, but don't use those cloth napkins that you get at lunch. You can use one of those other little napkins if possible. Or if you have a piece of paper with you, take out the piece of paper. And what you do, you see the lines here? You just, because your paper at the time is blank, so you just draw a line down here and a line down here on both sides of the paper. And you write the verse at the top, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right, and then you ask, what are wages? And you circle the wages, or you put a box around it. So you ask them, what are wages? Wages are earned based on the work that you've done, right? That's what wages are. And then you take the wages and you write it down on the under the left column. You put wages there. Then you come to sin. The wages of sin. What is sin, you ask? It is willfully rebelling against God. So then you put the sin under the word wages. The wages of sin is death. Then you circle the word death and you say, and you can put it under that, under the sin. But what is death? It is physical death, but also separation from God because of sinfulness. And then comes the word but that you circle. And you put the but between these two columns. But, and then you get to the gift. What is a gift? A gift is free. It cannot be earned. So gift goes under the other column. You see where gift is? But the gift of God. God is the giver of this gift. You put God under the gift. The gift of God is eternal life. What is eternal life? It is living forever with God in heaven. Also new life while here on earth. So we have in these two columns, wages, sin, death. The other column is gift of God, eternal life. And the but is in between. And then it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ Jesus our Lord, you draw the cross as a bridge from God to man. You see that across? You draw that cross, and you put Jesus Christ in that cross. Because God created a bridge to man because man was unable to reach God. He is the bridge between man and God. So then you would ask, would you like to receive God's gift? And if they say yes, then you just do a simple prayer with them. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. I want to live for you. I receive your new gift of eternal life. So this is an easy way to share the gospel using one verse. If you have any questions, you can come up to me afterwards, and I'll be glad to answer any questions that you have. But I thought this would be a good tool to use since we have come to Romans 6:23. In conclusion, ladies, let's end like we began. When Paul asked the question, what then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. If we are Christians, we are slaves to Christ. We have been called to obedience and have become the beneficiaries of the glorious benefits that are ours as his slaves. Sin is no longer our master. Our master is the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me kindly and lovingly ask you, who is your master? Is it Jesus? Hallelujah, if it is. Is it sin? Flee to Jesus, if it is. In him, you can have true freedom and abundant life. John 10:10, Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I'd like to end with this song that I found that I thought is really apropos. I'm not going to sing it because then you'll all run out of the room. So I'm just going to read what this song says, but I thought it really fit in today with what we were studying. Jesus, Master, whose I am, purchased thine alone to be by thy blood, O spotless Lamb, shed so willingly for me. Let my heart be all thine own. Let me live to thee alone. Other lords have long held sway. Now thy name alone to bear, thy dear voice alone to obey, is my daily hourly prayer. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Nothing else my joy can be. Jesus, Master, I am thine. Keep me faithful, keep me near. Let thy presence in me shine, all my homeward way to cheer. Jesus, at thy feet I fall. Oh, be thy my all in all. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it teaches us and guides us and directs us. Thank you, Lord, that as believers, that you are now our master. And I pray for any lady here, Lord, that has not turned to you, that she will turn to you today in faith and repentance, so that she will turn from being under the mastery of slavery to sin to being under your mastery, Father, the only master who can bring freedom and true life. Father, I thank you for this time. I ask that you'll please be with the ladies as they go to their groups. I pray that you will bless their discussion time, and may they grow even closer to one another and to you as they study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.